Independent woman.
Okay.
I'm not independent. I need to be taken care of. Thank you. It's management.
Yes. Hey. On that, when I was excited about...
You quit your job.
Yeah.
PayPal took it. Kilonzi, I'm one of the hosts at Global Tech Sailors, and thank you for checking us out. So we are Global Tech Sailors, a podcast where we discuss all things tech.
Yeah,
and today I'm joined by my co-host here, and starting from my right, Rona. Hi.
Hi, babe. You have a lot of energy. I love it. Excited.
Thank you. You're good?
I'm doing well.
Yeah,
thank
this
you.
Is Rona Joy. Please, let's proceed.
This is Mikali. Let's proceed.
This is the most amazing and blessed Diana moment.
Hallelujah.
Highly favored.
Yeah.
Dear God, Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thank you guys for tuning with us today. And thank you also for, sharing our work and always sharing our work and subscribing. So please, if you've not subscribed, please check it out. Yeah. So in our first... In this episode, we are going to have a quick discussion about freelancing in tech. I think every time we hear about technology and careers in tech, people are always talking about how, oh, tech is the gold or what? Mm. Yeah, something like the oil, or the new oil, the whatever, because you think it's a quick money scheme. And one of the things that make it that way is... freelancing, and because everyone feels like it's one of the advantages that we're not denying, that it's one of the advantages that you don't necessarily need to go through school and be employed at a traditional company. For example, as an accountant, besides being a consultant, can you be an accountant on your own? So it's one of those things that, like, there are some jobs, maybe accountant isn't the best example I've given, but there are some jobs that you would do or some courses you do in school that will not necessarily like a nurse. You can't be a nurse alone.
You can't be a freelance nurse.
You can't be a self-taught nurse.
Yes.
You can.
Yeah. Debate about, So it's one of those, you can create your own company as a freelancer alone in your home as a techie, as compared to as a doctor.
You can.
You can. But the resources surrounding
in
that.
In Kenya, can you?
In Kenya, can you? You also need a lot of resources for tech. You that just maybe need
you don't
a computer.
Need even an office.
You just need a computer in your bedroom and you're good. So what is freelancing? Freelancing is basically being able to do something for money outside of a full-time job, and basically self-employment, right? So maybe let's start. What is your experience with freelancing in tech, and when did you start freelancing, and how's experience been like? Dan,
I started freelancing after university in Kwatu Vibes and Inshallah. And after I finished university, I was on my own. I used to pay my own rent, my own food.
Independent woman. Okay.
Well, I'm not independent. I need to be taken care of. Thank you. It's management.
Yes.
Anyway, so after university, I started doing article writing. It was not mainly tech because I was not in tech after university. It was just articles, academic writing, the famous. Academic writing and such research things. So you could write, maybe you could do a gig. I used to do my gigs 3 a.m. to 5. Then Chana, I watch Prison Break the entire day. Then people would ask me, hey, how do you pay rent? And I'm like, the God too. The God man.
So where are you freelancing? Am I jumping? No. What did she say?
You did decisions.
I was.
Article writing. So you just get.
How are you getting those jobs?
I was referred to by someone.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, so someone referred me to someone who used to give me gigs.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Referrals.
Yeah, referrals. Okay.
The I used to do remote task. Get my few dollars. I used to be the kind of person who used to freelance when I need maybe a particular amount. So let's say, for example, I know kuna sherehe iko mahali, there is something that needs to be done, I'd maybe now go out and do something and then get the amount, fix my issues, and then we move on with life. But then it has kind of like evolved, because right now it is more of now me focusing on what we do in tech. So you get freelancing tasks in software engineering, data analysis, and stuff like that, where you just get to practice your own career outside work.
Nice.
Quick question. You were getting them from remote tasks.
The what?
The tasks.
Yeah, the tasks during that time, it was something like transcribing. There used to be a very high paying one called LIDAR tasks. LIDAR. The Tesla cars, the ones that can sense something. So there's something we used to do around, they can't even remember right now. But I remember they were LIDAR tasks. They used to pay well. Right now kidogo it's tricks. But yeah, we move.
Okay.
Rona.
I've just remembered I did that. So I also did it in campus, and I was doing the transcribing video, the ones that you listen. And the funny part was that you listen there 24 hours trying to listen to what they are saying. Those are the kind. You're not even hearing what they are saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's campus, and they were paying very small money at that time.
Mm-hmm.
One bob or something per minute or something of the sort.
You are so poor. Okay, so I was sharing my experience of freelancing. Okay. So personally, aside freelancing when I was in campus as well, but mine was a bit different. My school, we had like a work study program where you can work while you study, but you get employed by the university. So at the time, I used to be a tutor. Since I'm doing computer science, then I do programming. I teach programming to my third year. Then I'm teaching first years. Basically, people who are having challenges in class. So I would get paid per hour, something of that sort. Yeah.
The advantages of going to an international university.
So, like, this is a job. These people are supposed to be in class being retaught, or you have to reach out to them.
They come to you. So, the university pays you. So, every class will have maybe a lecturer, an assistant lecturer, or assistant lecturer, let's say that. Then there is a tutor. So, the tutor is me then. That beyond being taught in class, then there will be some times where students didn't understand this concept, then they come to the tutor for reteaching.
Is it either optional? One by one?
It's optional for the students to know which tutor to go for, but for me, I'm being paid by the school.
Whether they come or not.
Yes, but mostly it will also be per hour. Maybe I'll sit through their class. If their class is maybe from 12 to 1, then I'll sit through for any practical ones there.
Wow. Was it everyone chosen to be a tutor, or was it the best in the class?
So you apply for it and also prove that you're good at that. So you, it's not everyone who could be a tutor. It's just a couple of people.
I hope Kenyan counselors of universities are watching.
Yeah. You went, your school was a good one.
Bro.
You should shout anyway. No.
Thank you. Yeah, they've not paid me. I won't mention them. But you see. Yeah, I'm a proud alumni of HSE. But also, then after that, after I stopped tutoring, while I was still tutoring, I could also get gigs. So my freelancing was very focused on tech, because that's what I was doing as a full-time student.
Okay.
Then I would get gigs of building websites. And I also then slowly got into tech writing. Yeah.
Wait a minute. So where were you getting these gigs?
My neighbors around you.
Because they knew.
Based on referral, you can help each other on that.
Who are these, your first friends. Referrals or your friends?
Yeah, friends.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And colleagues.
And colleagues.
Yes.
So, basically that was my experience with freelancing. I think over time I've also now picked up it full time when I'm working. There was a time I quit my job to do freelancing as well.
Mm-hmm. You so should tell us that part. Story. With time.
You quit your job to do freelancing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was a time I made some good money freelancing and I said...
How much did you... Time. Would you want to tell us how much you made?
And the...
Just what an approximate. That made... You know, for you to have made you quit...
$3,000.
Per what?
What?
In a month. Actually, I got COVID. I got COVID. I was working previously. In 2021, I got COVID. I suffered from COVID. And you know how in COVID you have to isolate. Mm-hmm. And you isolate, you sit in your house. I think I tested like 3 times and I kept testing positive. So, and now I had a housemate at the time and she even moved out. She went because she was afraid of
the COVID.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was bored in the house. I was just wondering what else I could do. So in those 4 weeks of me trying to figure out what to do, freelancing, I got my first client on Upwork, then started cold. I was also very active on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. You're still active.
That's 2021.
Yes. Then I got a couple of clients, some for tech writing, others for software engineering, others for DevOps related work. I was like, in 4 weeks I made 3,000 and I was like, this is something good. After that, I think at work I was just looking for the next mistake so that I can quit.
So you quit?
I quit to do it full time.
For how long did you do
it? I did it for 4 months full time until I realized that it's not consistent. It's not consistent. I think we'll also talk about that as part of the downsides of freelancing.
Yeah, sometimes like you're very high.
With your job, you're assured. If I'm getting 50,000, I'm getting 50,000 and it's assured.
Yeah.
But if it's freelancing,
1 month is up, the other month is nothing. 50,
the other one is like
zero.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe in that same conversation, we can have a discussion about what do you think are some of the advantages that freelancing afforded you or has afforded you even with time?
The freedom.
The freedom.
To do something when you want to do it. Some deadlines, but you can choose not to pick. Someone wants me to build a website within 3 months, and I'm sure these 3 months I don't feel like coding or building something in that specific language. Or
so you have freedom to plan your time around that deadline.
Yeah,
you're not reporting to some boss who is
like 9 to 5. If you have to do a sprint for 2 weeks, that sprint must be done within those 2 weeks. You have to deliver. So the freedom of just doing things when you want to do them.
Okay.
But be also ensuring that you are top notch when you do them like that.
I think I'd say the freedom to get to choose what you do. So you know, when you're in, let's say for example, employment, you'll be given a task and you'll have to complete it.
Whether you like it or not.
But in freelancing, you get to see maybe a front-end task and you're like, no, I don't want to do front-end. I think that will be Mungina. Mungina sees front-end.
Yes.
But she likes it nowadays. And then I'll be there back-end and be like, yes, I have to do back-end. And I'll take the task. So I get to choose what I do.
That's true. That's true. Rona, do you have another advantage?
No, mine is kind of tied to what Mungina said. Mungina referred to me. Thank you, you are a good friend. Got some technical writing jobs, and the freedom it has. You know there are deadlines, but you do it as a luxury or at your own free time. You don't have to
the flexibility.
A lot of flexibility.
I think there's something else I'd like to add. the ability for you to be able to bargain, especially on the pay.
Yeah. But you can bargain.
For your salary, yes, you one can. Time. But it's one time and you'll be based on performance reviews every year.
No, you can change your rate card anytime.
Yeah, exactly. For the freelance rebate, yes. You're able to change that and you're able
I
to just move forward.
I was saying that it's this time of the year again where we have to convince employers.
We are
good performance reviews.
What's your advantage, Faith?
Actually, I get to work on other exciting things. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't think I'm a one-person kind of a person. I don't stick to one thing. I diversify my offerings.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an option to do this. The fact that I think also the opportunity to engage with different clients from different parts of the world for me has been very good. Like I get to understand different cultures.
And how
you see, even
work.
When you're what you're saying about transcribing, how you listen to a video in a different accent, then you listen to another one in a different accent, that kind of thing. It also gives you that exposure to know, okay, in Australia, this is how they pronounce things.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. So that variety is good and exposure.
Wow.
Mm. So in that same aspect, I think also we can talk about
the challenges. Huh.
Because the first one would be what you have talked about. Mm-hmm. It's not there are high seasons and there are down seasons. Mm-hmm. There are highs and sometimes
lows.
Very low
yes.
lows. So it becomes if for example you maybe depending on that
full time
becomes a bit or maybe we'll say you have to manage better you have to manage your highest budget.
That is where budgeting comes
in.
Yeah,
I think
comes
I have
in.
An example on that. When I was excited about
you quit your job.
Yeah.
PayPal took it.
They held your money.
Yes, they took the entire. I just submitted my resume.
They took the entire. Amount.
Yes, they took it. Because previously I was used to getting like 100, 200, 500. Then
500,000.
No, $500.
Relax, calm down.
It's okay. Now you know the amount that turns you on.
What?
So, okay. So that day, I wake up and I'm like, we've received this money and it's been flagged because of suspicions of fraud and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's how I gained followers on Twitter.
Because you went there and put on a rant.
I went on a rant. Jeez, there was no ChatGPT then that could create tweets, but God, I made a whole thread, tagged everyone, and everyone.
Did you get it back?
Yes, I did get it back.
You did?
I did get it back within 3 days because I was going crazy and all that. But yeah, that is one disadvantage that I think in Africa we don't really talk enough about freelancing.
Yeah.
Because especially in Africa, we have issues to do with fintech solutions because people who are on the western side or abroad, most of the payment places don't trust Africa.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not really, like it doesn't make sense, but you still have to justify why you're getting that money from their people.
I know.
That kind of challenge.
Actually, as you speak,
now,
just to add a little bit, I think I know with PayPal, once you're paid, they don't release your money immediately.
Yes.
They hold it there at the checking for suspicion. We are confirming where is this money coming from, and probably you're in need.
I don't use them anymore. I stopped because they blacklisted that account after I got the money back, and I just couldn't bring myself to create another one. But now, the good thing is now with tech and all that fintech people, we have different ways of getting paid.
Yeah.
And people now, you can even do a direct RTGS direct to your bank account and still work with that, which is what I've been using lately. Then also the other downside in terms of the inconsistent income, I joined a community of freelancers, which teach you budgeting for freelancers, how to budget to know, okay, this month I got 50. So you have a local around of the previous month and how much, like what's the average, what's the median amount that you've gotten, then how can you budget within that amount such that when you, even if you get 1 million and you are used to getting 10K, you can still make sure that the surplus will take you through the months that were lower. So it's a whole course on that. And I think I will send it to you guys in case you're interested. But it's very good in terms of budgeting for freelancers.
Yeah.
Personally, yeah. I'd take procrastination as a challenge, especially mm-hmm. on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. Because let's say, for example, you have a task and it's, you've been given 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The first week you'll be like, I have time. The second week you'll be like, I need to start working. And then it starts hitting you in the third week that you really have a deadline.
So in short, you're saying the flexibility there
can work against you a lot, because you'll be like, I have
3 weeks.
I can relax. And then you also don't have those, let me say, you know, when you're in formal placement, you kind of like have those daily stand-ups
mm-hmm.
where you kind of like express what you've been able to do. But now when you're alone, will you do daily stand-ups alone? You won't. So again, procrastination.
Yeah. Maybe a key aspect of freelancing is finding clients. So mm-hmm. maybe let's talk about it. How do you find clients and how do you position yourself for them?
Hmm.
And where?
I think it's mostly referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have done something for your friend, refer you, or I know a tech guy who mm-hmm. does this and this. You can check out. You can check them out,
mm-hmm.
or Upwork. If you have used Upwork, Upwork is a platform for freelancers, so you can check it out. You can create your profile and just describe. If you're a data analyst, you describe what you do as a data analyst, and someone can reach out to you. There are other freelancing platforms that you can also use.
Quick question on that. On these platforms, you have to bid.
You have to bid.
Yeah. So how, or rather, maybe I'm jumping
mm-hmm.
ahead. But I would want to know, so how do you position yourself to be able to get bidded?
For your bid to be successful.
I think it's like writing a resume.
It's like a cover letter.
They have a description of the task.
But me, I have bid. The reason why I'm asking is because I never get these bids.
Because you don't bid the right way.
No,
that's what I'm asking. So what's the right way
of
bidding?
Have a YouTube video on that.
How have you bidded? No, what Jonah, was there that
it,
you
it
guys
It brings
put?
About the aspect of people complaining that these sites have become flooded. Because everybody now is on Upwork, everybody is on Fiverr.
They're charging 500. So if you're charging 1,000, you won't get the job.
I think
so I have to lower my standards so that I can get...
No, design. That's another whole topic.
Because I don't have a portfolio or something.
So it's. I think... I wouldn't say like there's a one way of going about that.
Yeah.
I think some jobs that I've gotten...
Mm-hmm.
I have like 3 clients that are repeat clients,
mm-hmm.
and we even took the job off of Upwork.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because the first time I applied, of course, I asked for small money. Initially, when you're starting out, my dear, you have to start small so that you can get someone who can trust in your credibility. And after that, you go to the next one. So that one, I've been working with them for a long time
mm-hmm.
because of where we were at. Then, of course, then the initial ones are, if they say they want a web page, maybe a landing page that you need to create for them, you show them a portfolio of some landing pages that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also, in your bidding proposal part description,
you need to describe
how you're solving their problem
and
what you and why you are the perfect candidate for it based on your past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just like job application, really, because all of us are applying for the same position. There's a reason why they'll pick you over me.
Yeah.
Mm.
Got it.
Okay. So, what are you talking about?
Where to get clients? How to get clients?
I think the main one is just referrals. For me, it has been referrals. Actually, mm-hmm. I think I've gotten tasks on Upwork around 3, 4, 5
mm-hmm.
that paid well. But I think my biggest source of these kind of projects is just referrals. Like somebody knowing that Miriam is able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam is a data analyst. Miriam is a software engineer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of things. And also on these social media platforms, they could find people approaching you. For example, LinkedIn has been also a major one for me, because you'd find people maybe looking for mentoring. You'd find people looking for software engineers. So social media with a touch of referrals. Yeah.
And I think we also leave out the part for like cold emails, cold DMs.
Oh, you email think, people.
Yes.
Telling like, reach them out to I them directly. Do.
Yeah.
That one, I do that on LinkedIn a lot.
So, especially when you apply for jobs.
Yes.
You email the recruiter.
You email
but
the
in
recruiter.
Freelancing, how do you choose who you're going to approach? Yeah.
No. You just look at some...
their webs.
This is what I do. I go on LinkedIn and find, okay, this person is, since they are freelancer at this company, this one is a freelancer at this company, means this company employs, especially the companies for the US, Silicon Valley places, and those kind of companies. You realize that some of them actually take in freelancers in form of independent contractors. I don't want to mention my previous place, but that's how actually I got them. I went through someone, a mutual
you
connection,
see,
and
so, you
okay,
so oh.
they've employed someone from Nigeria. That means that they actually employed from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the DM of the recruiter or the HR or even the CTO and introduce myself. Like, oh, okay, do you guys have any openings? This is what I can do. This is my portfolio. So that kind of gives you, like, you've strategically placed yourself in their DM. Nowadays, I don't care. If you this one is coming for that's what please we don't know each other. Give me a yes, give me a no. At least I've gotten
give me the job
right?
And give me the money.
You've gotten money.
So call, email them, call, text them.
Yeah.
We're actually having this conversation the other day,
mm-hmm.
and one of the ladies was like, she feels like nowadays, every time a job is posted on LinkedIn, within minutes.
Hello,
100
applicants.
Yeah.
Some
so
are
how
even
do you start
closed
out?
After
you
email them.
So one of the things that they were saying is right now the best way to look for a job is actually
know someone
in the company. That's time that you're spending sending the easy apply.
They'll never notice you. Please
find someone who works in that company
and talk to them.
Talk to them. Get an internal referral. Every time you get an internal referral, you're more likely to get to the interview. And
mm-hmm.
and I feel like every time you're job hunting, getting an interview is the hardest part.
Yeah.
The rest you can figure out. You
just need a place on the table.
Yes. And you just face them and tell them that this is what I can bring. But without that opportunity,
you will never get to the table.
That's true.
Okay.
Maybe just as we finalize on this conversation, what do you say are the do's and don'ts of freelancing tech, and like what advice can you give in terms of what are some of the things that you are non-negotiables maybe?
Non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, especially when you're giving me a project, explain
mm-hmm.
it to the later. Especially for these
clear expectations.
Project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you normally have these kind of clients who come to the project and midway they're like, I wanted this page to look like this, but whatever they gave you isn't whatever they want right now. Like having what are they called, having the user stories change like midway project is something I really dislike. So if this is what you want,
but I think agile is agile methodology.
Yeah,
so that is why you came up with that.
No.
Mm-mm.
Agile is how you break down your tasks.
Okay,
I understand the iteration.
Yeah,
the iteration aspect of agile, I think that's what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that the requirements will
change. Yeah,
it means that you can make small changes
in terms of, we thought
this button would look better in red.
Yeah.
But since she's freelancing, it's not a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
she needs to cater that in the payment. Because imagine you created, it started
okay,
with
changes.
Then we can give room for changes, but also
factor it in your costing.
Factoring it in the costing now.
Yes.
Actually, that holds the clients liable because now they know if they change, you're paying money.
You pay money. That's true. Actually,
if you move from
clients keep going back and forth, Jesus Christ.
I don't think they that's why we are usually told clients don't usually
know
what
they
want. So
even when you start building a startup, maybe you wouldn't know everything. So maybe you can come up with user stories.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you can cut you and this will not work.
Mm-hmm.
You change the entire story and it is not your fault.
But it is going to
as a freelancer, it's also taking your time because you have other clients you're catering to.
Yeah,
that is why I'm saying you should also be flexible with the change, but flexible with the pay.
Correct.
Yes, with the payment.
Yeah, my point was under promise, over deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
mm-hmm.
over promise. Just And I promise them to, okay, I can do that. Don't see, say, what are these can do what you
want? No, I'm going to bring the earth, the heaven and the earth to it.
Just under promise, then surprise them.
Yes, yes.
That is how they will keep coming back to you. But if you over promise, then you
under deliver,
you'll never see them again. Yeah. That's how you become poor.
An example of Lonzi, if you wouldn't have done a good job, they wouldn't have come back.
They wouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
That's true. And I think one of the other part of that is always remember that you're the brand.
Yeah.
You're the brand. You're the employer. You're the employee. You are everything.
Employee of the year.
Right? Yeah. So every time, every shoddy work that you do reflects
that
back
representation of your brand.
You. So in that aspect, you need to make sure that you go back and figure out, now I told this client I would deliver X. So let me deliver quality work on X so that even after that, it will give my brand a bit of credibility so that they can come back and so that we can work together.
Yeah.
And also, for me, the final part of it is, as a freelancer, you need to know how to sell yourself. Like, selling yourself is the biggest aspect of it. You can be the greatest developer, you can
but
be the greatest engineer.
Yeah.
But if you can't put that into a contract and give it to a client or a proposal and give it to a client, they would never know what you're offering.
Yeah.
So you need to put yourself out there. Do you have a portfolio? Can you share it? Do you like building publicly? For those who like building publicly,
Can you make it open source?
Can you make it open source? You have other people that can endorse you based on the work that you do.
Yeah.
Just so that you can show them that when you go to Mikali for a data science gig, it will be delivered and in good quality.
Yeah.
And that is the best thing that you can do as a freelancer. Any final thoughts on freelancing?
Yeah, I have a don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes probably we can get greedy. So my don't is, don't, how is it called? Chew more than
swallow.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
bite more than you can chew, because I think it will reflect to you. Ah! Reflects more. It's a ripple effect. If you don't deliver in time, and okay, you took up so much, you can't deliver any in time, means they're not coming back.
True.
Yeah.
Something else is time management. You have to learn time management.
Yeah.
Also discipline. Neither you get too much money, you know, say, I have enough money right now. You can,
no, I can
and the low season is watching you like.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just having the discipline of this money is here and it is not going anywhere.
That's true.
And it keep coming if you keep working. It's quite over excited.
It's something else on subcontracting that I wanted to bring out. I think sometimes you take on something, it's not your strength, but you don't want to let it go, or maybe you have a relationship with this client. You need to be able to vet the people you bring on board to help you with your project.
Yeah.
Because for people who are in writing, you've seen a lot of plagiarism, for example. You give someone a job because, Rona is suffering right now, I could help her with some money. So you give her a project based on charity.
But I did it well.
But
right?
No, I'm not saying that one.
It's an example.
It's an example. I'm taking it personally.
Don't take it personally. Let me use Movina Bust. So you give her that.
Hey, do good job.
You did good job.
It's an example.
I should use this one. They have fragile ego.
They have issues.
Fragile ego, please. So maybe you've gotten a gig. Maybe you're hired for a certain job as a freelancer and you need an extra hand in that project. Make sure that you know, Mikali, if I give Mikali this job, I'm not giving her because we're friends.
Yeah.
I'm also giving her because she's good.
Capable.
So, like we said, you're the brand, you're the business. If she ruins it, she'll ruin it for you as well. So, in as much as I want to, I mean, so please, if you want to help them, give them money, free money. Don't give them
the brand,
your reputation, your brand.
Okay.
I've seen that happen a lot from people.
Oh my goodness!
I think now that basically means that you see where you're normally referred to a job and then you go do a shoddy job and then you reflect
back on the person who referred you.
We have to now talk to the people who have been referred.
Yes.
If you're given an opportunity, do your best. If you're not able to do it, refuse.
Just say you can't do it. Kwanzaa, I know sometimes we say, oh, say yes and you figure it out later. But sometimes what is at stake is too much for you to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So please, in the same aspect, please make sure you have a contract.
Yeah.
And always miss. Right now, my policy is get some down payment before you start.
Very
important.
Yes. And for those who do web and web applications and hostings and those ones, make
factor
sure that
in
factor in the cost of domain, hosting, all those ones, and make sure that those ones are charged directly on the client's credit card or debit card.
Not sure.
If you do it on your own and 2 years down the line, the relationship has ended.
You're still being subtracted.
Debited. One day you wake up and you've been debited. For clients that you no longer relate with or you no longer work with. So it's very, very important.
Wow.
Yeah. Otherwise, this is Global Tech Sellers and these are some of the interesting conversations that I usually have on this podcast. So please
subscribe.
Subscribe to our channel and follow us on. We are on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, right?
Yeah.
We are everywhere, including social media at GTech Sailors on social media, but also Global Tech Sailors across all streaming platforms. And we also have merchandise like our beautiful Diana here. The t shirt here is going for 800 Kenya shillings. And we also have polo t shirts, box pads,
jumpers.
A lot of these things. Please support our podcast and it's been us and see you next time.
Bye. Ciao.